Praise God. Come on, one more time. Let's put our hands together that we are never lost when Jesus is in charge. Praise God. Well, it's an honor and privilege to be here speaking this morning in this pulpit in this house. So grateful that Pastor entrusts me this weekend to cover for him while he is away, and just an honor and privilege to be here with you this morning. And I've always loved the 9 a.m. service. This service here has a special place because y'all feed into my craziness, so I appreciate that. So I know it's 9 a.m. in the morning. Listen, you know, when we were singing this morning during Waymaker, I got chills. And not just fake, not just hype, not any of that, but I have remembered moments where God has met me specifically in the 9 a.m. service. So I want to challenge you this morning. I know it's early. God's not up to 11 a.m. I believe that very much. Like, we should not be up to 11 a.m. But this morning, I believe God is going to do something, not through anything I say, but through his word. So if you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
Couple quick things. If you have students between grade 6 through 12th grade, I would encourage you, get them to youth group. Life is better together, especially in a generation that desperately needs community. I deal with a lot of students who are constantly hurt and destroyed by the things of what they face outside in culture. And what a better way to get them in their purpose, in God's purpose for their life, than to put them with other people, other students their age who are doing the same. So every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, every Friday at 7:30, and then Sunday mornings at the 11 for junior high, we encourage you, get your students to youth group. Don't give them an option. Make them go to church. And number two, we have Youth Kent Convention coming up. Now listen, Liberty, I know we always like to do things last minute, but I need your help so that I can sleep before Youth Convention. Next Sunday is the deadline for Youth Convention. So sign-ups, paperworks, please. I just dream of paperwork sometimes. It just drives me crazy. But get your kids signed up for Youth Convention. You don't want to miss out. But a couple weeks ago, Pastor started us on our vision series, Rooted, Growing Deep, Reaching Wide. And he unveiled to us the adding on to Rooted entitled Next Level. Now, how many of you in this room, you've been asked this before, but I want to ask this again. How many of you want to go next level in your own life, in your marriage, in your family, in your relationships? We should all strive to want to go next level. But understand, Pastor, in our first week, helped us to understand this, that to go next level and the mission and vision of what Jesus is doing here, it is a big deal. It is not something small. It is something huge. It is a big deal. See, Luke 12 says this, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. See, ladies and gentlemen, not only in the 9 a.m., but in the 6 p.m. and in the 11 a.m., we have work to do. And as inspired by his coaching, not as a bitter Jets fan, in the words of Bill Belichick, do your job. Let's do the job of which Jesus has entrusted us to do, to go and make disciples. See, this is what Liberty is about. Liberty exists to lead people to Jesus Christ and to make disciples by reflecting his love, teaching his word, and demonstrating his power. See, we're never silent. We're always bold. We are forever his. This is who we are as a church, is to lead people to Jesus Christ, not ourselves. This is why we want to go next level, to grow deep, to reach wide for all that God has for us. And I can only echo just how awesome it was last weekend to both hear two former district youth directors in the same room speak about the power of this next generation, what God is doing. Listen, I am begging you to not give up on this generation. You may say to me, I don't have kids, I don't care. You matter too. And in a world where they have given up on this generation, I won't. And I need your help. I can never be in substitution as a parent. I am not here to tell you how to parent. I am only here to be your biggest cheerleaders. See, this generation, Generation Z, has been labeled the most anxious generation of our generation. That their mental health is compared to those in 1950 as the worst psychiatric people since that time. Every minute they're facing anxiety, every minute they're facing depression. See, God is doing something in our student ministry. Two examples. There has been a hunger and an increase of their desire to pray. Some of the most authentic prayers have not only come from adults, but from broken students who didn't know how to pray before. We had youth group one night. It was supposed to be small groups, but God did something else. We started youth group at 7:30. We ended at 10:30. Why? Because I could not drag these students off the altar. We had another night. Praise God. We had another night. We all know teenagers are broke. They're broke. The only thing they can afford is dollar menus. Some days, they're scraping the quarters up. Praise God. That's what you got to do. So one night, I was like, let's challenge ourselves to raise, level up our giving for missions. And I didn't tell any of them. Until 1 hour before the service, I said to my leaders, listen, I don't know what your bank account looks like, but God's challenging us. If we're going to lead our students, we have to lead the way. Let me tell you what God did through our students. That night, we took up a second offering. And broke students raised over $800 in one night. Let me tell you something, my friends. It's a big deal when God is in charge. And it's not just limited. What God is doing here in Liberty Church is amazing. So let's get right into God's word. If you want, open up in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to do verses 16 through 18. If you want, the app is free. All my scriptures, everything is there so you can follow along. Take notes, take advantage of the great app we have here. But if not, you have the screen to keep an eye on me. Keep an eye on the screen, not me, because I sometimes can't even keep an eye on myself. So, 2 Corinthians, you can laugh. I know it's early. Okay, verse 16. Listen, laughter's from God. When you're stressed, read a joke. If it's corny, laugh. It's okay. That's okay. So, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Amen. This morning I want to preach to you in the vein of next level, on next level focus. Let's pray. Father, less of me, all of you. None of us, we just need you, Lord. Father, open up our heart, mind, and soul to receive your word today. Challenge us, change us, set us on fire, fill us up, bring us to the next level in which you desire for us as a people, as a church, and as a community of believers in following you. So Lord, have your way in Jesus' name, amen. So here's something that I always love. Every February, it's my favorite holiday. It's called Happy Single Awareness Day, aka Happy Valentine's Day. It's where every single person waits to February 15th when they go to CVS/Walgreens to get discounted candy instead of paying the full price. Because every youth ministry knows you never buy candy when it's a holiday. You always buy it the day after. Or if you're smart, you will wait a week later because everything's like 25 cents. But I'm going to tell you a confession of me. I'm going to be vulnerable here. I am corny. I am also a romantic. It may not look like I am, but trust me, I have dreams of how I want to be so romantic. In reality, I'm a hopeless romantic. I have a dream one day, you know, to be able to take my future love of my life, to go to Buffalo Wild Wings, have a candle, have some little flowers, and then I hear Tina chirping, don't you dare take her to Buffalo Wild Wings. I said, hey, if you really love me, you're going to accept that I love chicken wings, and that chicken wings is next to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. But when I was a little boy, when I was 13 years old, I had dreams. And I used to go outside in the country, city, and I used to look up to the sky. And I used to say this to my parents. They're like, you're crazy. I said, Mom, Dad, wait. I'm looking up to the stars. I'm looking up to the moon. That I'm looking and I'm just thinking, maybe there's just a chance that she's looking at it too at the same time.
Then hold on, don't save the alls. Hold on. This is where my corniness, and this is where I just decided, like, oh, right there. I'm like, so one day, when I look up, I just extend my hand and I hold her, and we're both looking at it with a strawberry acai refresher and McDonald's french fries in the other hand, together looking at the same thing. Listen, I have dreams in this place today. But here's the deal. I felt like the Lord spoke to me so strongly. He said, Tim, I get you have a desire to have that future, to have an army of kids. But if your desire is more of that and less of me, it's total opposite. And what happened was my focus for such a long time was on that moment to hold her hand instead of my focus on him, on the one who provides it all. So this morning, we have to understand that focus requires a strict discipline to do what is needed, not what is convenient. Everybody loves convenience. Now this whole order your groceries online, yeah, go ahead. I don't have to step into a grocery store. Praise God. But see, focus requires a strict discipline to do what is needed, not what is convenient, my friends. So what does it mean to focus? Focus simply means it's a center of activity, attraction, or attention. We have many things we both, all of us in this room, focus on. Our marriages, our finances, family issues, our family, our home, frustrating work environments, traffic, or even driving in Massachusetts. That's another thing that drives me crazy. God have mercy on our soul. But here's the thing. The average human attention span from a survey done 2015 is less than 8 seconds, which means we have an attention span less than a goldfish. And not a goldfish that we eat in Kids Life, okay? The little fishies that are in the store, they have a bigger attention span than we do. And since 2015, now 5 years later, that attention span has shrunk because of the digital generation that we are in. Where everything is at the access of our fingers, we tend to focus less because it's convenient. See, no matter what environment you are in, survival depends on being able to focus on what's important. And focus also is the driver of excellence. So let me set the passage here, the context of where we are. Paul is coming out of a journey, and it's been tough. He's been beaten, he's been bruised. To say that it is a difficult journey is an understatement. See, Paul had many challenges. He fought to preach the message of the Lord. Health and aging issues challenged him. Great persecution and the constant wear and tear on his life was taking a toll on him. See, at the very beginning of chapter 4 and at the very near end of it, he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. But what a battle it's been for Paul to not lose heart. The only way Paul managed to keep fighting and rising to the next level was his focus on Christ every day. See, I've been here now 10 years, being part of this youth ministry for 10 years. And I have seen Liberty Church go through so much. See, Pastor Rick, they don't know the whole story. But when Pastor Rick gets together and we talk, I am just surprised. I'm actually just, it blows my mind that this church is still standing. It blows my mind, Belinda, that God is still moving in Liberty Church. The amount of things this church has faced over the years, reality check, we should not be here. But thank God for the mercy of God that we do not lose heart and we keep moving forward. See, therefore, since through God's mercy, we have this ministry, my friends, we do not lose heart. We have this ministry. We have this ministry and a responsibility to help continue the mission and vision of God through Liberty Church. See, Ephesians 2 says this, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. How many of you are grateful for the grace of God upon our lives this morning? Amen. See, what holds us back from going next level? A couple things. And I have to, we could talk about, next level, next level, next level. But we got to talk about the obvious of what holds us back from that. One is fear. We're either scared of what it might require to go next level, or we just don't want to do it. So we hold ourselves back. Number two, laziness. We are not willing to do what it takes to go next level because we are comfortable where we are, so we become lazy and we stay there. So we would rather just stay in our miserable and our pain than actually have freedom. See, we can't expect things to get done if we're lazy. And one thing I learned from my parents, that a room will never get clean by just looking at it. Or shoving everything under the bed and telling your parents that it's done. Because mothers know better. They also hit harder, so we gotta be careful. Comparison. It's an enemy for every minister. And comparison steals the joy that we have of actually serving the gospel, because we compare our right and our left to everyone else instead of focusing on the one who gave us the ability to do it. We compare, well, my situation may not be like this. It don't matter what their situation is. God's called you to run your own race, not theirs. So comparison what holds us back. Shame. We shame ourselves for what we have done or what our family represents. Or even a big one, guilt. Lord, you know how messed up I am. And that is what holds us back. But let me tell you something this morning. We have that answer. We have that solution. That is in Jesus Christ. Amen. So today, in order to go next level, you have to fix your focus. Now, what does that look like? What does that look like to fix your focus in order to go next level, in order to grow deep, in order to reach wide? How do we fix our focus? Number one, you got to renew your focus. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. See, Paul now has supplied several reasons for his growing discouraged in spite of seemingly overwhelming odds. He was commissioned as a new minister of the gospel to preach the message of Jesus. If anyone could talk, it's Paul, because he was messed up. See, he had the opportunity to take care of the Corinth church here. If we could be real, Paul recognized what he was going through. See, it is very easy to lose heart, but not only lose heart, but to quit. And if I'm being honest with you here, some weeks I just want to be like, deuces, I'm out, I quit. I'm taking my CPAP because I cannot sleep without that, and I'm going away. Peace, God bless you, Merry Christmas, have a great day, I'm done. But I thank God that Jesus didn't quit on me when he was carrying the cross to take those nails in his hand. See, it's very easy to quit. It's like, oh, here we go. Let me serve you your success right here in a platter. No, it's called work. You got to work for it. You got to do what God's called you to do, because when you are doing what God's called you to do, the enemy will come in to make you quit. We can't quit. There's too much riding on the line here. And Paul did not quit. Paul kept going. See, Ephesians 3:16 says, I pray out of his glorious riches that he might strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. See, don't let pain, don't let fatigue, don't let criticism force you off the job when God has called you. You know how many conversations I've had with Pastor Rick at Brody's that I'm done. I am done. But let me tell you a little trick that I have to teach my students. When you're stressed out, go have a good meal, okay? Please, thank you. Because when my students are stressed out because they haven't eaten, I'm like, listen, God gave us a belly for a reason. Nourish yourself, okay? But we can't quit. It's gonna be hard. It's gonna be difficult. See, here's the thing. Many of us get caught up, and something I've had to learn real quick here is minutes versus moments. We are so caught up in the minutes of life that we miss the moments that God is creating or has created right in front of us. Why? Because we're so focused on how it's not working out when there's a moment happening right there in front of you. Yet we're so focused, Patricia. You've been with me for a long time, girl. we're so focused on the minutes of life that we lose the moments of what God has brought us from, what God is doing in front of us, and what God is going to do. Liberty, I am begging you this morning, stop getting caught up in the minutes of life and don't miss the moments that are happening right in front of you, what God is doing. We can't lose focus. See, 2 Corinthians 3:18, so Paul's also tying 2 Corinthians 4 into 2 Corinthians 3. And it says this, and we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory as being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. See, when you run, you only focus on the finish line. I don't see any runners that when they're running are stopping to get a burger, are stopping, oh, let me go to Dunkin' Donuts and get my coffee. Then I'll just keep running. I don't see runners taking a break. They are running towards the finish line. But here's the thing. They know which finish line to run to. They don't try to knock someone else. They focus. They've accepted the race that they have enrolled in. And when we become Christians, we accept the race that though I'm surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, I run the race and no sin will entangle me. No sin will catch me. No sin will weigh me down. See, what happens is many of us, I like chains. Like I love necklaces. So yesterday, I was walking up the stairs and I was like, I was going to come up and say a corny joke. That's how you press play. It's like, hey, you like my new chain instead of a necklace? Or, you know, it's okay. I laugh at my own jokes. You don't have to either. It's all right. Or you could do like a scarf. See, it's fashion. Anyway, no. Like I said, it's okay to laugh. God's not going to strike us. Thank God for his mercy. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I was walking up the stairs. The chains kept wrapping around my legs and I actually tripped. And I was like, that's exactly what God spoke to me right there. He said, Tim, you're running a race with the chains that are holding you back and you wonder why you can't focus when you run. But there was such a relief that instantly when I took the chains off, I felt free. I felt released. And here's the thing. God wants us to run the race, but we got to keep our focus not on the sin, but on Jesus. And when we keep our focus in on him and we acknowledge his word and live righteously and repent, aka turn away from what is holding me back and focusing on Jesus, we're set free, my friends. Amen. So we got to run the race. But here we go. So number one is renew your focus. Number two, you have to remember your purpose. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says this, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Aren't you grateful for that? See, Paul supplies another reason for not losing heart in constant solid production of the eternal glory in Jesus Christ. See, life has its way pulling us down. And I know I'm not the only one in this room. I don't need to know your story to know that we all face something. The enemy's constantly after our life to take us out, to have us quit or have us do something we know we shouldn't do. And I heard a pastor say this. He said, when you realize your worth, you will stop giving people discounts upon your life. Now, trust me, I like discounts. Praise God. But not on my life. Because Christ paid the full price in Calvary. Amen. His blood that was shed for you and his body that was broken to give us freedom in Christ for eternity. Amen? So you got to remember your purpose. Everything we face has a purpose. It reminds us that Christ suffered for us. When we go through these things, it keeps us from being prideful. Number three, it causes us to look beyond this brief life. It helps us to show our faith, live out our faith, and it gives God an opportunity to show his power through your situations. Romans 8 says this, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we might also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us.
See, the eternal glory of God through his son Jesus is far greater than any suffering we might face. See, within the last year, within actually the last 2.5 years, I've had to bury 3 of my grandparents. My grandfather 2.5 years ago on Black Friday. My other grandfather last May. And my grandmother a couple weeks ago. My mom lost both of her parents within 7 months. And who do they call to do the funeral? Me. But I remember standing there and realized that my grandparents would be proud. That everything I went through builds an armor around me to fight what gets thrown at me. And I thank God, even when I'm in it, I don't want to thank him. I thank God for his glory to use such a little boy like me to be a man of God. You see, if you keep reading earlier in 2 Corinthians 4, we're people who like to focus on the negative. I always tell my team when I say, how do you think the event went? And their first thing, oh, this is what we got to improve. This is what I'm like, okay, thank you, negative Nancy's. Okay, can we just be positive here for a second? Let's celebrate the wins first before we talk about the improvements. Let's talk about what God did in our event. But when we're reading 2 Corinthians 4, Paul, so we read this. We are hard pressed on every side, and we stop right there. We go on to the next. We are perplexed. We are persecuted. We are struck down. So we always see the sufferings, the troubles, the frustration, and that becomes our view of God, and then everything else, that's how we live our life. Oh, I hate you, God. But here's the thing. There's always a but. Whenever you see, here's a tip I learned in school. Whenever there is a but in scripture, you got to keep reading. You don't stop. So I'm going to ask you to participate with me because participation is the best way to learn. Okay? So when I read through not the lens of my trouble, but through God's word, we are hard pressed on every side, not crushed. See, we are never in such a tight corner that God can't rescue us from. See, we are perplexed. Listen, I know, like I said, it's 10 a.m., but we can wake up, okay? We are perplexed, not in despair. You may be constantly baffled, constantly puzzled, but never in despair when God is in charge. See, when I was a kid, I made my parents all the time. Number one thing on my wish list instead of a Hess truck was Legos. I don't know if kids still play with Legos today, but Legos are my best friend. And what happens is always, I would build these Lego things, and then I would take my Godzilla doll and like, rawr, and break it, and then start all over again. But what's happened, it always, I don't know if parents, you have this situation, but there's always that one piece when you need it, you can't find it to complete it. And I am looking everywhere, I am screaming at my father, this is your fault. You brought it. You stole the piece from me. You want to see me miserable. And then from the corner of my ear, I hear my mother screaming as she's on top of a mountain because she stepped and then stubbed her toe while finding the Lego piece I needed for my completion. But here's the thing. Never lose hope when you're baffled because there is always a Lego piece somewhere that you need to finish the job. Amen for that. But let's keep going. We are persecuted, not abandoned. A lot of people today in this culture has been abandoned by the culture of today. You may not know where life is going, but remember your purpose when you feel persecuted because you are not abandoned. And finally, we are struck down, not destroyed. See, one thing I had to learn quick in ministry, and I had to learn it fast, is you may be knocked down, but you're not knocked out. You got to get up and fight. The enemy is fighting for your soul. You may be knocked down, but you're not locked out. Here's another confession of mine. I'm a nerd. I'm okay with it. I can't do video games right now because I'm busy, but I love movies. I love Avengers Endgame. And that spoke to me. Now, I'm just going to put a caveat in here. Don't email me saying that I ruined the movie for you. You've had long enough to watch it, okay? So go to the movie theater on Tuesday, spend $5, watch the movie, get some $2 popcorn, praise God, hallelujah. But here's the deal. Watching Endgame, there's a scene in that movie where Captain America and Thor are fighting Thanos. And Thanos is laying pow-pow all over that place. He has a big old chef knife, that's how I like to call it, and he is like, bam, bam, on Cap's shield. Thor is sitting there like, ugh. He's just like, he's like, get out of here, bro. You're not the strongest Avenger. Like, I got so frustrated in the theater. I'm like, get out of here. And Thanos is hammering Captain's shield. Pop, pop. Knock, stabs Captain in the leg. And he falls down and he's facing down. And all of a sudden, Thanos is walking up and behind him, thousands and thousands of his army. Jackson, get ready, bud. Thousands of his army is coming behind Thanos, and Thanos is sitting there like he's in charge. And all I remember sitting in the movie theater, see, this is where you have to be aware where God is. God's just not limited to church. He's everywhere. He created everything. And I remember from this scene, Cap's on the floor. He is knocked out, Ed. His face is messed up. And he picks up his shield. It's on his arm. And he takes it, and I will never forget this part. He takes his shield, and he tightens it. And he gets up, and he's standing there, and he is looking upon the enemies that are trying to destroy his life. But he got up. And see, here's the thing. A lot of us right now are facing a battle in our life that is ready to take us out. And the odds in front of us, the odds around us look incredible and not to our favor. But here is where it happened and changed. All of a sudden, Cap hears something in his ear. Cap, can you hear me? Cap, it's Sam. Then three words that forever changed the game of the movie. On your left. And behind Captain America became these portals that opened. And what was lost in the last movie showed up. And an army assembled behind Cap. Thank God for Spider-Man coming back. And he's standing there and everybody's like, yeah. And then Cap, what I've waited for 20 movies to hear for my nerd inside of me to get stoked up was Avengers Assemble. And in that moment where all hope was gone, the Avengers assembled and long story short, the good guys won the battle. See, my friends, here's what I'm here to tell you. Liberty, it is time we assemble and fight the enemy and put him back in his place. It is time we rise up and see and fight. You may be knocked down. You listen, you may not be Captain America, but you have a power greater in you that this world cannot comprehend. And that is Jesus, my friend. The blood, the body, the cross is what energizes me. The cross is what sustains me. The cross is what keeps me going up every day. It is the power of Jesus that lives in me that I may be despaired, I may be broken, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Listen, my friends, we got a battle. It's time we fight. It is time we stop stepping back and not fighting for our marriages, not fighting for our finances, not fighting for our kids, not fighting for what God very much entrusted us. Your marriage is worth it. Your family is worth it. Your life is worth it because what Jesus did on the cross. And I talk to too many couples who say, I'm done, I give up. But thank God Jesus didn't say, I'm done, and I give up on that because he saved us, my friends. If you can't get excited about that, then I don't know what can get you excited. But here's the deal. Let me put this jacket on before I fly again. I gotta keep on. Gotta behave. Oh, I gotta get my hand in the pocket. See, we gotta get out of here in time. We can't miss anything. Well, thank God it's baseball season, so they don't start at 1 o'clock. But anyway, on my Bible, had Madison write something to remind me. This is how I fight my battles. See, we don't have a Captain America, not all of us have a Captain America shield. In reality, none of us in here are Captain America. But the shield that we have is right here, my friends. You don't believe me? Let's go to Ephesians 6. You see, it says this, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power, Iris. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take the stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, my friends, listen to this, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, and all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. My friends, you don't need to be Captain America to fight this battle. We have Jesus. We have his Spirit. We have his word. I can always picture Donna White when she always talks to me about this. She is literally, metaphorically dressing me to fight this battle. Number three, once you renew your focus, the worship team can come up. Renew your focus. Remember your purpose. You have to refocus on what matters. Because here's the deal. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says this. So we fix our eyes on not what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. See, the production of glory that Paul was striving after took work to chase after. See, Paul knew his salvation on the Damascus Road, and he knew that was the day Jesus called him Lord, when he called Jesus Lord. See, in this chapter, he mentions the work. See, it's work to follow Jesus. We have to, as Paul says in verse 2, renounce secret and shameful ways. We have to fight deception and distortion. We have to preach for the glory of God, not of our own or not of his own. And we have to become a light in this culture's darkness. See, Paul was really honest about his ongoing battle with temptation, his loneliness, and his failing health. But Philippians 3 says this in the Message translation. So let's keep focus on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us, if any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You will see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. You got to refocus on the main thing, my friends. See, understand this. A hungry tiger one day started tracking the scent of a deer. As he followed the deer, he came across the scent of a rabbit. He turned aside and started after the rabbit. Then he was distracted by a scent of a mouse and started following that. He finally came into the hole which the mouse had vanished. He ended the day, listen to this, hungrier than when he had started the day. And this helps us to illustrate that how many of us spend our lives distracted on the this and that, on the minutes of life. At the end of the day, we have accomplished nothing. The enemy will put little traps to get you to focus on that, to focus on the minutes of life, that to forget God is in the process of creating a moment. He has created a moment. He's doing one again in your life and what he will continue to do. See, I love what Isaiah 35 says. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Amen. There will be a day where everything we're facing returns home with Jesus Christ. Every head bowed and every eye closed. See, we can sit here, we can shout, we can say amen. But if we're not putting into action what God's word commands us to do, we're missing the point. See, the best decision you can make in your life, the best focus you can have to go next level, is not your own personal goals and visions, but to be in a fully committed relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not who you marry. It's not what you do for your job. It's, am I in an active relationship with the one who can change my life? And not only just be in a relationship with him because he can change your life, but because he's the one that woke you up this morning to give you purpose, to renew your focus, and to refocus on what matters. This morning, if you're in here this morning and you don't have an active relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm gonna pray for you in a minute, but I would encourage you, find myself, Pastor Rick, the North Point students. Let us pray with you. We have a gift for you. You are not alone. Don't do it. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for every person this morning that entered into a relationship with you. God, that is why we do what we do here each and every weekend. Lord, I don't want to do it for anything else. Nothing else matters but you. So Lord, this morning, may you help us, for those that have not entered into that relationship, that life-changing new focus, moment, opportunity we have to get back in your presence. May this morning be the day where we can say, we met God and he changed my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's what I'm gonna challenge you. All across this room, if you can stand with me here, we're family, and a family that prays together stays together. A family that worships together stays together. We need to be together as a family. Here's what I'm gonna do. I didn't do this last night. Maybe you're in here this morning and you've been distracted. Maybe you've been so focused on everything else but Jesus. See, many of you are in this room right now and you're not even present because you're so focused on what is happening in your external world and in your internal world that you're counting the minutes of when you can try to get this done instead of being in the moment of when God is trying to reach to you. In youth group, we believe in the power of the altar. We believe in the power of prayer. I have met students that have prayed over my life, and people have said students can't pray. Let me tell you, in this church, these students can bring heaven down to this earth because their prayers can reach heaven just as much as yours. So today, this morning, whatever time it is, if you need prayer, I'm gonna come up in a minute, we're gonna sing a song. You got battles, you got a face. You may look like you're surrounded, but you are not when you're in the presence of God. If you need to take a minute, don't rush out. I'll come up in a minute to pray. But if you're here this morning saying, Pastor Tim, I need to get to this altar, I need to pray, some of my students are gonna be there to meet you. But less is, whether it's one person that comes up here, whether it's two, right now, if you need prayer for God to help you focus back on what matters, get out of your chair and get up here to the altar. We're not gonna do it crazy while those people are coming, whether it's one, whether it's two, whether it's three. Let's put our hands up and let's sing and let's worship together as we sing. This is how we fight our battles. Come on, church.
This is how I find my battles.
Let's worship. Let's challenge ourselves.
This is how I find my battles.
I only echo the words of my nerdy self. On your left, my friends.
Not only does God stay on your left, he's on your right, he's behind you, he is in front of you, he is over you, protecting you, guiding you, fighting the battle with you. The battle is won. The choice is ours to walk in that victory. So this morning, every hand raised to heaven, let's challenge ourselves. I am tired of being a Christian that stays here. I don't want bottom feeding anymore. I want his glory. I want his spirit. I need his anointing. I need his blood in my life. I need the strength to get up every morning, to breathe, to walk in the victory which was won for us. Father, all across this room, across every person in this room, every student, every kid's life, every parent, every person. God, I don't know all their stories, but you do. So Lord, right now, the battles that we may be facing internally right now, God, the battles that we're about to face externally when we go home, the battles that are in and throughout all of us, God, I pray that you would help us to focus in on you, to renew our focus, to remember our purpose, and to refocus on the main thing, God, on what matters. Lord, we are yours. You are our strength. You are our victory. You are our power. And we give our life to you, not as another emotion, but as a statement that we make today, that no more bottom feeding, but we want next level in your spirit, next level in your anointing, next level all of you, God. So Lord, this morning as we exit, Lord, have your way. Have your way this morning, oh God, that whatever may come to our way, we stand firm and we fight. So Father, thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for giving us another chance. We don't deserve it, but you loved us to send your son to give us eternity in heaven for you. In Jesus' name, the name above all names, the name that has the power to change, to challenge, to set us on fire for you, the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Come on, put your hands together. We love you. If we need prayer, if you need prayer, come see one of us. We'll see you next week.